morning. Today is Monday, July 4th. Happy 4th of July, everybody. Which kind of sounds stupid, you know, that yeah, I'm looking at Andy going, you know, that sounds stupid. I'm getting a head nod. Yeah, okay. Yeah, just the old question, you know, does Canada have a 4th of July?
They should have.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4th of July is the fireworks and lots of family time, and it's my granddaughter's birthday.
Ooh. So she for her, yeah, okay. Yeah, just a little self-focus there.
Yeah, exactly. What two-year-olds do.
That's perfect. Our quote this morning comes from George Herbert. Quote, "We praise heartily only those who admire us."
Isn't that? Yeah.
Oh,
well, I admire you, Brian, so you're just such a wonderful gentleman.
You know, little do you know, I have nothing to do with editing this and what it appears like on the website. Oh, boy. Kind of a neat opportunity to kind of catch your breath a little bit. 2 months now with the homeless experiment, I guess. Experiment would be a term. I don't know what you guys reference it as. Is it working as good as you thought? Is it working better than you thought?
Well, that's a good question, Brian. And I don't know. This is sticky. I think from the standpoint of clearing out the marsh, it worked better than I thought. I had some real skepticism on whether or not that would be, how successful that would be. But overall, it has worked very well. We have not seen a reinfestation of the camping area, as well as people have pretty much stayed out of the marsh other than people walking and so forth. We did a cleanup out there. Kathy and I went out as well as many other people and cleaned up. You know, did some picking up and so forth through Park and Rec. So it that has worked well. What has been troublesome is the 30 to 50 people who just have no interest in finding a location.
Now, are those the mentally impaired?
Some are.
Well, so that's a different, I mean, that's unfortunate, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But of those who were all together, just the anarchist, is that like half of that crowd?
Yeah, I don't know if I'd classify them as anarchists, but they're certainly...
Or anti...
Yeah, it's certainly several people who just don't want the rules that all the rest of us have to abide by. Stealing things is okay, and living any way they want is okay, and not cooperating with government to try to help them is okay.
So societal norms just don't apply for that.
Don't apply to me, and you're not going to tell me what to do.
You know, so a couple dozen is all.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting.
Somehow that's refreshing. I know it's a pain.
Yeah,
for you guys.
Well, yeah. But I get plenty of calls, and it's pain for the pain for the community members who are getting. You know, I had a local engineering firm call me this week and say we've gotten broken into three times in 3 nights in a row. And I said, yeah. I get it. And it was right close access to where many of the problems are. So, we're pretty confident.
You know who.
Based on what it is, where the players are.
So in that kind of situation, yeah, the metal folks, okay, we'll set them aside. What can be done? What can the community do?
Well, I think there's a couple things. One, stop giving food resources to people who don't want help and are unwilling to take help. They're only taking the ones they want, the help they want to take. And I think that has to be, we have to be a little bit tougher. Like for instance, the no panhandling thing, one of our sergeants was dealing with somebody last week and four people walked up and gave the guy money while, you know, he's panhandling. I thought we as a community don't want that. And so it's kind of hard to tell people no and cite them when in fact people are giving them money.
KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:19.
You've never heard us before because we're something brand new. It's called Destination Radio. If you live in Ferndale or Gold Beach, Blue Lake or Klamath, Brookings or Eureka, you'll be looking for someplace different to take the family, something special to do next weekend. The best destinations for day trips and overnights, for hiking or biking, for beachcombing or birdwatching, and you'll turn to us for ideas, because you're the reason we're here, to help you find your close-to-home destination. Stay, play, and relax with us. Destination Radio.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Andy, in the first break before we cut away there, or first segment rather, you were talking about a select few, a couple dozen bad eggs. Is this the group that every community has? Is this the group that has located here because in the past aggressive enough measures haven't been taken, so they feel that this is a safe zone?
Boy, that's a tough question to unpack. Yes, in some ways, no, in many others. So I think, you know, I was down at the at foot of Del Norte the other day, and there were three new faces that I did not recognize. And so I went up and greeted them and said, hey, you know, don't recognize you. You know, when did you get here? Oh, I got here last night. Oh, well, you came from Indiana, according to your license plate. You know, why here? Why here? It's just a good place to come and hang out and you know, be with my friends. And by the way, you know, because he had some significant scarring on his legs. And I said, what happened? He goes, well, I got shot with an AK-47. Well, this is exactly the kind of person that I think we want in our community.
Yeah, who are your friends, buddy?
Yeah, who are your friends that lit you up? And he goes, oh, I was at a hippie camp, and, you know, and I got shot by at this hippie camp. And I said, well, I got to be honest with you. You're not welcome here. He goes, what? I said, you're not welcome here. Go home. We have enough homeless problems. Just get in your van. Go back the direction you came from. He goes, you can't tell me that. I said, look, I'm not telling you. You don't have the right to be here. I'm telling you, you're not welcomed here. And if you don't, unless you want to be a productive member of this community. And I don't see that right now because you're camping illegally. Next day, he was gone. And two other people we address the same way. And so I think that we have to, as a community, say, look, we have a standard and a norm we want in this community, and whatever that is. And the police will listen to what the community wants. Same thing with panhandling that we discussed earlier. Do you want panhandling or don't you? Because if you don't want it, then quit giving to people. If you don't want homeless camping everywhere, then we've got to set that tone. And you can't do it through infraction enforcement. You know, everybody says, well, I want this guy cited. Okay, great. What's going to happen with that? Yeah, nothing.
Yeah, add one to the collection.
Add one to the collection.
Baseball card collection, right? The citation collection.
Yeah.
Is there a general sense that a community can exude? I don't think a lot of us see us that way. I mean, we see us as people who care, who support a lot of community projects, who do things like that. A soft touch, I would think, if we asked folks up and down 4th and 5th Street, I don't think that there would be that sense. No. But yes, I do like to support.
Yeah.
The interpretation of the actions, is that part of the challenge we have because we are such a, according to everybody else, I don't know, giving community?
Well, I think there's a dichotomy, and I do believe that this is one of the most generous, kind, loving, giving communities that I've ever been part of. And so I think that is our strength. But at the same time, we can't allow that strength to become a weakness. And we need to say, hey, look, you know, we're more than willing to help anybody here who truly wants to get out of the situation they're in. But then get out of the situation. And we get that there's mental health issues and there's drug addiction issues, and that doesn't go away overnight. I mean, every Eurekan gets that. But at some point, we can say, okay, enough's enough. And you can't continue. You know, we went and got big totes for people to store their property in because we were trying to be compassionate. Well, that turned into one tote, into two totes, and now stuff stacked up in front of the totes that is enormous. And that has turned into a nightmare from the standpoint of collecting stuff. And I have no idea how they're able to collect that. When you look at the data from the marsh, we collected 122 tons of trash from 100 people when the average day we collect is, I think Miles said 71 tons for the entire city. That shows you how much, you know, how out of balance that is.
Yeah, I regret not telling
asking you that question.
No, before the event, suggesting that you get, don't haul the stuff away. Make it a mountain. Take a picture of it. Simply because so many of us don't understand 121 tons. What does that look like?
Yeah.
I mean, there's no reference. We for 120 people. I mean, a ton of stuff. I don't know if we went through the house. I don't know if, you know, if there's three of us there, if we would have 3 tons of stuff.
No.
I don't know what that reference is unless you include the vehicles.
Yeah, we could probably ask, like, John from Humboldt Moving and Storage, you know, what does a ton look like? And, you know, but...
And he'd probably give me a response we couldn't use on air.
Come see one of my trucks.
Yeah. What... Is there an effort, an educational component to this for the community, if folks do want to help, like you alluded to, you know, that you got somebody there and 3 folks come up and give him something and he's being told he can't panhandle, where those monies can be eventually got to provide the services that these folks need other than the drug stuff?
Yeah, I do believe so, Brian. I think the educational piece is take a look what HUM CPR did with the move out date. I mean, quickly, here's the private sector jumping in and helping the public sector, and what they did was able to get the.
You know, I'd love that, except they went to the county to get reimbursed, and I think that's chicken.
Well, I'm
if
okay
you're gonna
with
do it, you do it.
A $164 million budget, reimburse them.
Well, or at least you tell them in advance you're gonna do that.
Well, no, you got to perpetuate it.
I got a nice car I'd like to get. You think the candy covered that one for me?
Oh, they didn't use it for themselves.
Or a van, a people mover van.
Okay, well, that's
for
fine.
For services? Yeah, if I went out to Harper and bought one?
Well, people didn't move it for themselves. They're not using that for themselves.
Well, I understand. It just it seemed a little bass-ackwards to my mind.
Well, but look how quickly it was spun up, though.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it was rapid.
It got done.
And I think that's the key element for me. Is when people are really focused and have the resources to get it done, they get it done. And I also look at Betty, what she's done. You've got 40 people living there. She's got a staff of, I think, 2, her and another person, or 3 maybe. And they're able to handle 40 of the pretty more difficult cases and on a shoestring compared to what we're paying elsewhere. And so I think that's pretty special.
KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Eureka Police Chief Andy Mills. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting and by Redeck. Andy, looking at a new year, I mean, there's certainly opportunities for things to be done the same, things to be doing different. You've got the coffers are full. Well, as full as they're going to get. What are you looking at for this upcoming 12-month period of time, because we do have the Betty's Village or Container Camp or whatever it's being called, 4 more months, and then that's supposed to go away?
Mm-hmm.
Or at least a decision will have to be made at that point. Where do you see the next 6 months?
Well, specifically for the homeless or overall?
Yeah.
Okay. So with the homeless issues and, you know, I know that the city's been pretty straightforward with this. This is only going to last 6 months at this location. And now will it be adjusted somewhere else will be the question. And that's a thing we're wrestling with at the city, you know, the head of city government, the department heads anyway. So where is that going to go? And then what does that look like? Or should there be a tent city someplace that's managed? And what does that look like? And so those are all pretty big questions that are looming and trying to grasp. You know, what location would be best for the purpose of controlling it?
Is this current situation going to serve as a prototype? Has it worked that well that that's the model, and now try to replicate it?
I don't know if that's really on the table, or is it more other people now want to step forward and with suggestions, and do they deserve an opportunity based on what they see and their capabilities?
But to change the whole system into a whole other system would seem to be inefficient.
Well, I'm not saying that this will. Well, two things. One, I don't think the container thing is going to go away. I think everybody pretty much is on the same page. That's working. That's worked darn well. But are there other models that may work as well? Is the question, and I think that there's those that maybe want and deserve an opportunity. And
so there are folks. There's some chatter out there about doing some things.
There's some chatter, and I know the manager and the council are interested in looking at it. I don't think there's a dire commitment at this point, but I know that there's a lot of discussion.
Can they move quick enough? I mean, there is only 4 months.
I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, good. You got the irony in it too.
Yeah. Well, I think that the container portion, I'm not too worried about that one. I mean, if they can put that whole thing together in less than a month, I think we can probably move it within four. For short periods of time. I mean, you're not looking for a long-term commitment.
Is the capacity of that current model limiting?
Yeah, 40 people.
Could you add, let's say it's doubled. 80. Are there another 40 of that 50 that you alluded to earlier that would avail themselves of it?
Probably. Depends on, because I think most of our homeless population is now centered at the foot of Del Norte. There are still some outliers other places. And we hear, anecdotally people saying, hey, we're seeing some in Cooper's Gulch. There's some new trails. It's new trails here and there. And I try to get out and walk, to try to find those locations and kind of evaluate it for myself so that I get straight scoop. And so I think that, probably citywide there are 40 that we could put in there. The question is, are they willing and capable of abiding by the rules?
Well, that's all part of the program there, yeah.
Because some are, some aren't.
So that seems to be a real positive development over the past year or so. What kind of long-term stuff are you guys looking at? Are there other challenges?
Yeah, we actually have to do police work sometimes. Just like this last homicide, our guys did an incredible job putting that together. So what we do is we take a look at, we did a survey online. We had 221 people respond. We also did two focus group sessions with community members and got their input as well, took copious notes, and then put a strategic plan together, which I'll bring to council on tomorrow night. And so I'm going to let them know what the data that we found was and what the priorities for the community are. Like, for instance, one of the priorities for the community concerning property crime was residential burglaries. 93% of those responding said that was their number one priority. So we have to figure out a way to reduce that. Residential burglaries and make sure that we're meeting the expectation of our community. And so we've got some ideas, some suggestions, and I'm going to task the two captains to come up with a plan in place that you like how you delegate, Brian?
I love the delegation. I know the guys have just got a zillion ideas that they can implement with a budget of $5.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to find a way to make it work. And,
okay.
And we are going to be innovative and creative. But as one police officer said, policing is all about exercising your will over that of another person. And so we're going to exercise our will over those that think they're burglars.
Was there anything out of this survey group that really stunned you? Surprise? Either positive or something you hadn't thought about?
Yeah, there were a couple of things. One of the questions we asked is, what's the best way to communicate with you? And one of the things we got back was Facebook was the best way. Now, because we did an online survey, I'm not greatly surprised at that. Right. These are a little bit more technologically savvy people. But it was vastly in that realm. Second one was the newspaper. You know, two exact polar opposites in my mind.
Younger and older.
Yeah. And then a variety of other ways, you know, kind of trailed off behind that. The other thing that was really interesting was when we asked about what are your biggest traffic concerns? And DUI was number one.
Well, that's interesting. But you said that. I mean, I flashed Booner and Jay.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Because of the high school and the amount of accidents and near hits that are there
that take
historically.
Place. Right. So, but you say that's interesting because the top three were DUIs, aggressive drivers, and problem locations, which would include locations like Booner and Jay. The things at the bottom of the barrel, less than 1% said seatbelt violations, even though we know statistically that seatbelt violations are responsible for a higher injury rate. And so, and then a current theme that we saw throughout the survey was people told us the things that affect them are the things that they're interested in seeing us do.
Now, that shouldn't be a stunner.
No, it's not. But it was in terms of seatbelt violations being so low. So now I have to realign how we view traffic control in facilitating the flow of traffic with what we saw in the survey. And we just got a grant for money. We actually applied for a grant to do a lot of traffic stuff. And I'm more interested in changing the locations, the physical location, than I am in just doing straight enforcement. Because, again, what's enforcement do? It does some. You get a $100 ticket, you're going to watch a little bit closer, make sure there's not a cop behind you.
You're dealing with the symptom rather than the cause.
Right.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43. We'll be back with more from Andy Mills.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the shopping show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next shopping show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:48. Happy 4th of July, everybody. You guys going to set off fireworks or go see some of the public celebrations?
You know, it's kind of bizarre for us being up here and hearing all the bangs and fireworks and stuff because you just don't do it in Southern California. And but now everybody's running around with sprinklers and stuff. I'm like, oh, give me a fire someplace. And, of course, we're in North Zone. We're more water than you know what to do with.
Yeah, well, we'll buy you a couple sparklers so you guys can have some fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And I'll be downtown, and we'll be walking around and visiting with the hordes of people who come down to watch the fireworks.
But will you be incognito, or are you going to be carrying the brass?
I'll be carrying brass. It's I'm pretty identifiable anyway.
Yeah, I know. It's kind of – I always find it fun to see people's reactions. We travel in weird circles, right?
Weird
to see people's reaction. Is that really? And I'm not a visual.
Yeah,
people don't know me unless they know me by visual.
Yeah, but as soon as you speak with that booming voice, everybody knows.
That gives it away. So when I'm laughing in the corner that you're getting talked to by somebody, that's where the giggle is.
Yeah.
But it's interesting because I think it almost makes those folks that are seen as newsmakers perceived as normal people.
Yeah.
Rather than having the accoutrement, regular guy, he's still got the gun, still got the badge, but he's also a regular guy. He kind of breaks down some of that stuff.
Yeah, we get, wherever we go, we're pretty recognizable and people say hi. And I appreciate that, though, because this is a warm community.
Well, hopefully not too warm today.
Yeah.
Thanks for coming by, bud.
You bet.
We've been Talking Shop with Andy Mills. Join us tomorrow morning for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug someone you love. See you then.